With the demise of HearMe and Lipstream, good voice chat clients have become a rare commodity. But it looks like there's a new product out there that may be our salvation. It's the Chatterbox voice chat client, and it's being used and sold by AudioTips.com, a site that encourages blind people to get together in a community atmosphere and converse in real-time voice with one another. To tell us about this client, we're joined by George Byes of AudioTips, and we are speaking to him using the Chatterbox voice client. I should add, though, that the only modification that we've made is that we've used SoundForge's auto trim slash crop feature to take away some of the lag time that is inevitable when you're having an internet conversation. George, thanks very much for joining us. Nice to catch up with you on Main Menu again. I guess that a number of services or even just small web pages that used to offer voice chatting have really been rocked by the demise of Lipstream and HearMe now. I guess that you might have considered giving up at one point, did you? Did it look too complicated to keep AudioTips going with the lack of technology that was out there?
Well, it was a little bit tough for a while, but we went through probably 10 different servers to try to keep the tips going, and a lot of them were kind of inferior type clients and servers that really didn't give the voice quality, and but we kind of kept it going the best we could, and now we're kind of back in full stream again.
Has all of that changing of servers and people having to download a whole range of clients, has that had an impact on the number of people that visit the site, do you think?
Very much so. For a while, we were changing servers about every other week, and I think a lot of folks just wanted to wait till we got something stable, and right now a lot of people are coming back, but yeah, the popularity went down for quite a while.
So tell me about the client that you are using now. And first of all, I wonder, has it always been there but nobody had discovered it in the blind community, or is this quite new technology that you're using now?
This is real new technology, actually. The developer contacted me, and I jumped on it because I try anything that you can talk on the computer on. And he originally did a program that was quite popular with the blind community called Real Easy. From Real Easy, he went to another client called Real Easy Interactor, which was a conferencing type server and client. And then he went to another client called Hey Forum, and eventually to the Chatterbox server. And that's where we're at with it now.
Yes, I remember the Really Easy voice very well, and it was hugely popular in the blind community. People were using it all over the place. I guess, though, that before we actually talk about the specifics of the technology, based on the description you've just given, how do we know that this thing's going to be around in 6 months' time if this guy's moving clients all the time?
Well, one of the things that he's done is he's putting a guarantee out that if for any reason they go out of business, number one, you own the server. It's not something that is on a remote computer out anywhere. We're talking right now, we're talking on my computer here in my house. So you own the computer to protect himself. He does have it licensed through a CGI script. If for any reason he goes out of business, he will give the CGI scripting to the people that have purchased the server so that they're guaranteed that they'll always own it.
Okay, so this is not, for example, a HearMe type or even a Lipstream type solution where they would supply the bandwidth. This is kind of, I guess, akin to a VoxChat server where it's necessary for the person running the technology to have access to a bit of bandwidth.
That's right, and bandwidth is the issue. For a large server, you need to have a good DSL connection or a cable connection, and that would be good for possibly 50 people. With a dial-up connection, the smaller servers will work real well. 5 people servers will work with a dial-up.
I realize you haven't authored the server, so I don't know if you know the answer to this, but do you know, for example, how much bandwidth is one stream? While I'm holding down the control key and talking to you, do you know how much bandwidth I'm taking up on your machine?
You know, I have that. I don't have that right handy. We're kind of in the middle of making up some documentation so that people that are interested will know approximately how much that they can have. Up on the website, there is a, new marketing website that I have, a graph of what each stream, like right now we're streaming at a high quality GSM, and there's four different levels you can stream at, and naturally the lower you go, the more people you can accommodate. Without the breakups or stuff like that. So I think there is a graph up on the marketing website.
And that's configured server-side, is it? So that the person running the server can make a judgment as to the codec that's being used and therefore how much of their resources it's consuming.
That's right. There's a high quality, a marginal quantity, a quality, a good quality, and a poor quality. I guess For your listeners, I would say that the poor quality would be kind of like a Roger Wilco walkie-talkie type quality. The high quality is telephone quality, like we're using right here.
Let's take a look at some of the features of the server then. And firstly, from a user's point of view, what are some of the pluses as you perceive them to be from the end user's perspective?
There are a few things that I really like. One is file transfer. So if you right-click on a person's name, you can do actually three things. You can file transfer, send a file from your computer to somebody in the room. You can send a web page to somebody in the room, or you can share a window with someone in the room. The window sharing is not extremely accessible, and it hasn't been with any applications. Hopefully someday we'll be able to access that. It does have a text chat mode or text chat area. It also has an integrated browser, which we've been playing with, and depending on the size of the web page, it's fairly accessible with a screen reader, so that you could actually browse the web within the talk client.
And if I want to transfer a file to someone, am I using the provider's server to do that, or is it a direct peer-to-peer transfer so that no bandwidth of the server provider is being used for that file transfer?
You know, that's a good question. I do believe it's peer-to-peer.
Okay, well, that's good news then. And when you log on for the first time to one of these Chatterbox servers, you are invited to download some software. It's not just a Java applet or some sort of little plugin that runs an Internet Explorer, is it?
No, actually, and it's incredible. The size just amazes me, but it's a full 32-bit Windows application. The client itself is about 200K, so it's very small, very quick to install.
One person can speak at a time on this, and in fact, people will be able to hear when I play this interview that just before I speak, there's a kind of a blip, which tells me that, in fact, I now have the floor, as it were, the virtual floor. So some people will see that as a blessing, and others will see it as a hindrance, I suppose, that only one person can talk at a time. And there's kind of a queue, so you can even hit the control key when someone's talking and kind of get in the queue to have your turn.
That's correct. Now, what happens is if there's several people that want to talk, it's a first come, first serve kind of a thing. Everybody will be in a queue. If when it's your turn to talk, then you'll hear the little bleep, so you'll know it's your turn to talk. There is a feature within the server to disable the queue. It doesn't make it full duplex, but basically, it's the first person that would, it doesn't put people in line. It would be the first person that actually pushes down on the control key after the other person has got done.
Now, you're actually selling this server, and so can we talk a bit about that aspect of it? If somebody was interested in adding some voice chat functionality to their website, maybe they have some sort of application where they want to provide technical support or online training, something like that. Could we talk a bit about what it's like, firstly, to... Well, let's start with the moderating features, which are actually part of the chat client window before we talk about setting up the server itself. Once you become a moderator, and of course you don't have to be a server owner to do that because the server owner can set up a moderator password, but there is some additional functionality that can be introduced at that point.
That's right. Actually, from all of the talk clients I've used, I love this moderator, the moderator privileges that this has. One of the things that you can do as a moderator is you can synchronize a web page or go to what we call a follow me mode. And so as a moderator, if you were teaching a class or if we wanted to play a sound file, whatever it is, the moderator would, or a stream off the internet, the moderator would type in the URL within the client and press enter, and everyone else that was in that particular talk room would see that web page within the client window. And again, if that web page went to a, if that URL went to a direct streaming audio file, everyone would basically get the streaming audio file. Another thing that you can do is clear the queue. If I'm moderating or if I'm teaching a class and someone gets a little long-winded or I need to break in for any reason, I can go in, clear the queue, and speak immediately. And the other feature is with a selected user, you have the ability to mute that person for a specific period of time, totally ban that person from coming in that room. The nice thing about it is it doesn't just ban their IP address, it bans their computer. They cannot get back into that room on that particular computer. Or you can raise their microphone gain. So those are the moderator features at this time.
Having some control over microphone level is a really excellent feature, because if you have somebody who's a little faint or whatever, then that can be a real bother. And if you've got a bit of control as a moderator over that, that's a really nice feature.
Yeah, it is. I've used it quite a bit. Another thing that he added in, now you can change the font also within the, and this is from the user's standpoint, within the options, you can change the font for people that are low vision, so they can change the colors, change the size. You can also disable the automatic mic gain. A lot of us do that because what happens is it'll automatically compensate, and that's not totally accurate all the time. So there is a place to disable that automatic mic gain within the options.
And all of these features are available from a really nice little pull-down menu. You've got to press the Alt key, and because you're in a client as opposed to an Internet Explorer window, you've just got a standard menu bar there. I noticed, though, that you might need to do a little bit of hunting around with your Window Eyes mouse movement keys or your JAWS cursor or whatever it is you might be using sometimes to find users. But if you left-click on any one of them, then it seems to give focus to the list view, and then you can just up and down arrow to see the users that are in here.
That's right. There's actually three different windows within the client. There's the text area for doing text chat. There's the browser area. And then there's the people area, where the people are. And by right-clicking on any one of those areas, that'll bring focus to that particular window of the application. By default, it automatically comes up to the text chat window, so that if somebody comes in the beginning and they're having some problem hearing or whatever, they can text chat and we can get things worked out with a from a text standpoint. But out of all the things I've ever used, this seems to be one that really doesn't take much effort to install or effort to use. It's so far we really haven't had any problems like we have with the other clients in the past.
Has anyone at this stage started work on script files or set files or other screen reader configuration files for this client?
Actually, I believe that a few people have made some frames. Kathy Ann has actually put her class to work, and they've been up on the tips making various windowized set files so that it'll so there are hotkeys that will read who's speaking or will automatically tell you when somebody pops into a room, along with reading the text messages automatically with a say all. It gets a little bit chatty, but you can turn off the say all part of it and just do a hotkey to read that particular section.
What's involved with installing the server itself if you wanted to run one of these?
What I do is somebody's interested, they just send me an email. I send them back a link to where the server can be located. They download the server from the link, and I have basic instructions on the email. Then the first thing they do is go into a folder on their computer called Chatterbox. They click on the server, so the server's running. Then they open up a chat manager, and there's a place to request a server license. One thing I love about marketing this is that people can use it before they buy it to make sure that it's going to work okay. For a 7-person license, for example, or a 5-person license, if a person wants to try it out, there's a 7-day trial period. And for a 25 or above, there's a 30-day trial period. Once they click on the request a license, they go to a web page, fill out a form, and immediately it's turned on. Then all you have to do is go back into the chat manager, click on upgrade license, and you're ready to go.
And because the author of this software contacted you, presumably he's been quite aware of the needs of blind people in terms of standard Windows controls and things like that, as I think he was in the Really Easy Voice days. I seem to recall he was quite accommodating of our needs.
Yeah, he is, and actually he is doing some hotkeys to some of the functions, and we are working on some other slight accessibility features because there's only actually two people working in the development of it. They do have some priorities. Their new release is going to be, it was actually going to have a recorder and a player in it to where, let's say if somebody was teaching a lesson, for example, and during the course of that lesson, there were people that text messaged to each other. There were people that sent file transfers, or the moderator sent file transfers to everyone. They changed the web page to show different things that were going on in the lesson, along with did some file or some window sharing, and somebody couldn't make it to that particular lecture or whatever the application was, that they would be able to go to that and they would literally experience the total concept. The web pages would change when they were supposed to change, the file transfers would be transferred, all the text messages would come up just as they were, just as if you were there live. So I think that's pretty exciting.
Right, so you're satisfied that the product is still actively under development and that we will see great new features coming along for it?
Absolutely. He's one thing about it too is if there is a bug or there is any problems, basically he's had a few things fixed within 24 hours if it's something that is really a problem. And that could be an accessibility issue too, depending on if it's one person that's having the problem. It's, you know, it's not going to take a priority. But if all of a sudden 10 people, 15 people, 20 people start showing up with a problem, he'll work on it and get it fixed within a 1 or 2 day period of time.
What about other platforms than Windows, both client-side and server-side? Because there are a few dedicated blind people using Linux, for example, and they have to reboot into Windows. It is possible to do some chatting under Linux, for example, through Speak Freely. Do you think there'll come a time when this client has a Linux version and also a Linux server, since people who run servers often choose Linux as their operating system of choice?
We talked about it, and I believe that once this is perfected to the point that he wants to, that he'll be doing a Linux version of the server, and if he can be convinced that the marketing end, as far as the client side, would be large enough, then I'm sure that he would have no problem putting together a Linux version of the Talk client too. It'd be nice to be able to cross talk with Windows and Linux people.
Yes, it would, and I think the only way to do that at present is through Speak Freely. So let's talk about, let's talk Turkey and find out about how much this all costs. The client is absolutely free, right?
That's correct.
So can we talk a bit about server pricing for those who may want to run this on their own web page?
Okay, we have a personal version of the server that is a five-person server, one room. It has all the same features that the larger servers have, except you can only make one room and only five people can be involved in it. That price is $99. It goes up from there. Basically, the market place for this are people that can afford the bandwidth and are using it from a money-making standpoint. The 10-person server is $499, and that's a two-room server. From there, it goes to 25-person, which is $1,995. The 50-person is $39.95, I believe. I'm going to have to look. And the 100-person server is $49.95.
So the $99 one would be ideal for people who run home pages and just want to create a sense of community, that good old concept of stickiness, people staying longer and enjoying the web page, I guess.
Yeah, actually, the larger ones, right now I've got two or three universities that are looking at it for teaching. The higher end ones basically are for interactive business, training, education, just, you know, there's just a myriad of applications for them. The small one, by the way, you don't need a web page to operate these things. You can have, but if a person wanted a little private server, they will work off a Windows desktop shortcut too.
Yes, I wondered about that because I noticed that when you go to a particular room on AudioTips, for instance, it behaves a little bit like you were launching a real media or Windows Media or MP3 stream. You get briefly the file download dialog, and clearly it's sending some sort of metadata file to the chat client, and that causes the chat client to open.
Yeah, actually what that's doing is that's going through the CGI bin that is Chatterbox's CGI bin, And what happens is if there's a new release of the client, it will automatically install the client. And so it's going there for two reasons. One, again, for the developer to be able to protect himself so it doesn't just get passed around. It's making sure that the licensed server is being used by the right person. Number two is in case that there's an upgrade or anything like that, it'll automatically upgrade it. If you use the shortcut, Windows shortcut, then you may have to go, and I'll be putting the latest versions of the server up on both Audio Tips and the marketing website, so that people can end up having the latest Talk Client.
And if people want to find out more information, you've referred to that marketing website. Where do people go to get more information?
Well, they can go to www.talkingcommunities-online.com, or they can go to Audio Tips, and there's a link on Audio Tips that says own your own talk server, either one. And there's a lot of information on the site about the client. We're also putting together some documentation and possibly some tutorials up there, although it's pretty simple to use, but I would rather have the website do the work for me if I can.
Why not? And what else is happening on Audio Tips itself? What does Audio Tips look like these days in terms of the activities and rooms that are available there?
Right now we have the welcome lobby, the topic room, which we're going to get going pretty soon. I'm so busy, I don't have a lot of time to dedicate to getting up there and just enjoying myself. But the topic room is for people that decide if they want to have a topic, they can, the meaning of life. Tonight at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk about the meaning of life in the topic room. And if they want to post that to the list, they're more than welcome to do that. If somebody wants to have a weekly schedule of something, that's fine. Right now, the only weekly schedule we have is a guide dog chat in the guide dog room. We also have a tech talk room for people to come over and just share and help each other with computers and stuff like that. We recently added a family issues room, which is kind of dear to my heart, and Sarah Blake is kind of putting that together. She's really active in the on the email list that parents of people with blind kids, and so we're starting to get a good number of parents coming over discussing their issues and stuff like that. And I think that's kind of neat because, you know, they have a lot of blind folks that aren't kids that they can talk to and see that, you know, the issues that we have as adults so they can prepare their kids better in the future.
Excellent. Well, that's all at www.audio-tips.com, and from there you can also find a link to information about the server that we've been talking about, the Chatterbox server, which certainly seems like it may be a bit of a saviour for those of us who like to offer voice chatting services and have been searching for something good. I appreciate you coming back on Main Menu, George. Always good to talk to you, and no doubt we'll keep in touch in the future.
Thank you, Jonathan. You keep up the good work.